The following selected excerpts are from Helen Wright's book, Humanity's Divinity, which continues an examination of the first edition of Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. It would be impractical for me now to read the book in its entirety, as it needs to be carefully and thoughtfully studied. Instead, we shall record the epitomes of each chapter. The student can then turn to the book itself for work material and further reference. An upfront note to the reader. Mary Baker Eddy appeared on Earth in accordance with Bible prophecy. Penetrating deeply beneath the material's surface appearances, she saw man's basic problem was the illusion of being a material personality encased in a matter body. She realized the whole material creation, including man himself, must be recognized as only a limited and faulty interpretation of reality, rather than reality itself. She saw all human experience as just the externalization of conscious and unconscious thought, that even the crucifixion of the flesh, in the case of Jesus, was but the objectification of a mental struggle. The life and death struggle between Jesus' recognition of spirit as reality and the atheism of matter. Her timeless God-inspired words bluntly and honestly give the text of truth and show mankind how to solve the problem of being. The works I have written on Christian Science contain the absolute truth, and my necessity was to tell it. I was a scribe under orders, she states. Revealed by God, her writing puts on record divine mind's revelation, the final revelation, which will unfold forever, of the absolute divine principle of scientific mental healing, and will lead humanity into all truth. Mrs. Eddy had found the open door from the sepulcher of matter. Through the written word, she has shown the world how to come forth from its tomb, come out of the hypnotism that it is encapsulated in matter, subject to discord and death. Thus she fulfilled Jesus' promise of the Comforter and his prophecy in Revelation, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Through her, the promises will be fulfilled. Mrs. Eddy's exposure of evil as totally unreal, as merely hypnotic suggestion, and her founding of this truth in human consciousness constituted the watershed of human history. Because of her teaching, humanity today faces a giant leap forward as it understands God's decree, I will overturn it, unquote, until we see ourselves as God beings, as individual mind reflecting upon itself as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. This present book, the fifth in a series exploring Mary Baker Eddy's first edition of Science and Health, which unveiled the woman prophesied in the Bible, is concerned with the first edition's fifth chapter entitled Prayer and Atonement. The first edition was based directly on her 1866 Great Revelation and on her 9 years of demonstration, teaching, and practicing. It pours forth its God-revealed truth without reservation. In its pages, the unveiled revelation, clear and powerful, sounds as a trumpet blast to awaken sleeping human consciousness to our true identity as one with infinite good. But many people in 1875 were not ready for such a forthright summons. It was misinterpreted and rejected. She herself was denounced by pulpit, press, and faithless students. Realizing most people needed to be slowly prodded awake, Mary Baker Eddy restated her revelation in softer terms, translating divine inspiration into arguments more familiar to her readers. She brought God's womanhood down to them. Through the following 418 editions, she muted the clarion call. Finally, in 1910, she said she had taken this truth and, quote, hidden it, hidden it and hidden it. And if I hide it any more, they will never find it." Unquote. Our prayer must be, "Open my eyes to see the wonders of infinite good's kingdom within me, the omnipresence of intelligence that is love." Once we know our own consciousness is God, then one with God is a majority. Chapter 1. Prayer lifts us out of the shadow of death. Prayer is the celestial stairway of Christian Science, by which we climb out of the valley of the shadow of death. As explained in this first edition, chapter Prayer and Atonement, it is akin to Jacob's ladder. In prayer, the thought angels ascend and lift hope to at-one-ment with infinite good. The first edition's chapter 5 begins on page 283, asking, "Does prayer bring us nearer the divine source of all being and blessedness?" Yes, the chapter answers, but it is the prayer of works and not just words. Prayer, Mrs. Eddy writes, is the habitual struggle to be always good, the habitual struggle to know and do the will of God. It is the yearning in secret and striving for the accomplishment of all we ask. As in mathematics, God, our divine principle, only works as we work. Habitual goodness is praying without ceasing, in which motives are made manifest by the blessings we bestow. The chapter emphasizes that our progress depends entirely on our own efforts. Without fervent desire and striving, nothing happens. And love must be the foundation of all action. Love is Christian Science. The kingdom within us is love and is waiting for us to express it. A loving attitude, purity, sincerity, self-surrender are the steps that lead higher. Mrs. Eddy writes, "Desire expressed in daily watchfulness and assimilation to the divine character molds and fashions us in infinite good's image." Unquote. Prayer does not change God. It changes us. Being a Christian Scientist involves an inner transformation in order to become a transparency for the divine. The requirement that the human be scientifically translated is the insistent theme of her earthly mission. Over and over we are taught that ours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, the dominion and sovereign power. The key word is understanding. We find the kingdom of heaven within our consciousness when selfless love fills our heart, when there is a compelling urge to help others, relieve their suffering, point out the way that will bring them happiness. This is the principle, love, within us, pressing us toward God-directed purposes. "Have a cell less in the brain and a fiber more in the heart," our leader counseled. Her foremost concern was that her Christ teachings be actually lived. For thousands of years, mankind has been turning to God for something, to get something. There is no such God. There is no God that can give us something any more than the principle of mathematics can give us something. Understanding alone gives us all. Christian Science redeems humanity to its divinity, its true identity. Jesus made it clear that we already have received that for which we are asking. Prayer is knowing that our real consciousness is the infinite good called God. If we did not have consciousness, we would not have God. In the first advent, Jesus exemplified and showed the humanity of divinity. In the second advent, Mary Baker Eddy showed and demonstrated the divinity of humanity, brought to light by science or God's, your own mind's, self-knowledge. Thus, Christian Science redeems humanity to its divinity, its divine identity. Mrs. Eddy tells us repeatedly that infinite good does not have to be achieved. It is not to be attained. If it had to be attained, it would be something outside the kingdom of God within our consciousness. Everything has already been created and is already ours. It only has to be realized. Through study and practice, we gain the change of viewpoint that alone is necessary. When we turn to God as, quote, out there, unquote, we set up a sense of separation that prevents demonstration. The real turning to God is turning to the truth, and the truth is, quote, I and the Father, mind, are one. From the beginning of time, the Adam dream, or hypnotism, has held us in its cruel clutch, making us believe matter is real. How do Mary Baker Eddy's writings show us the way of escape from the diabolical mental grasp it seems to have on all humanity? The key is to become aware of our true identity as divine. Then we can no longer be pilloried by the false belief that we live in a matter body. This awareness that nothing can hurt us because we don't have a matter body is heaven here. Realizing we are God being constituted of bodiless bliss gives us the courage to stand up to error and vehemently refuse to accept mortal minds, hypnotisms, suggestions, which are always a ticket to nowhere. The body, or matter, has never yet informed man of disease. A belief carries the telegram to the body, and the body manifests only the sufferings of mortal mind, said Mrs. Eddy. Our work, she said, is not to change God's work, for that is finished and perfect. Neither is it to make error nothing, for it is that already. Our work is to stand, apparently in the midst of it, unmoved, knowing its nothingness. Prayer, as Mrs. Eddy interprets it, is just the revelation of the omnipresence of present perfection, the revelation of the perfection that has always existed. When you experience a healing in Christian Science, it is the revelation of truth. It proves that heaven is here. Reality must be here, or you could not experience it. All that we misinterpret as material substance and form is here, but not as matter. It exists as eternal good, immutable spirit. We only need to learn to view it correctly, as Mrs. Eddy taught a student whom she thanked profusely for his service. The student said, "Don't thank me, thank God." With a smile, Mrs. Eddy replied, "I didn't know there was any difference." It is important to base our practice upon our present completeness and perfection, rather than thinking we are advancing toward it. Emphatically, Mrs. Eddy states, "Unless you fully perceive that you are now the child of God, hence perfect, you have no principle to demonstrate and no rule for its demonstration." Unquote. I am complete now. I lack nothing. We must become aware of our present perfection. Unless we realize this perfection is already an established fact, we have no principle to demonstrate. In math, we know the multiplication table is already established. Nothing can touch it. Our work is to learn it and abide by the principle and rule, as Mrs. Eddy demonstrated. Chapter 2. All is a construction of consciousness. The quote above appeared in the 50th edition in 1891. Matter was no longer on its way out. It was no longer disappearing under the microscope of spirit. It was finished. Mrs. Eddy had seen, quote, that the heavens and earth to one human consciousness, that consciousness which God bestows, are spiritual, while to another, the unillumined human mind, the vision is material. This shows unmistakably that what the human mind terms matter and spirit indicates states and stages of consciousness. But, you say, is a stone spiritual? To erring material sense, no. But to unerring spiritual sense, it is a small manifestation of mind, a type of spiritual substance. Viewed with material sense, it is material. Viewed from spiritual sense, it is spiritual. 40 years later, in 1930, The world's foremost physicists were saying the same thing, that, quote, all is a construction of consciousness, unquote. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Here she makes it clear that the new heaven and new earth were not overcoming the first heaven and the first earth, material earth. They were passed away. She and the Revelator were on our plane of existence while yet beholding what the eye cannot see, that which is invisible to the uninspired thought. We must understand that the material universe is our false point of view. Animal magnetism is within us. It is our false consciousness, hypnotism. It is when we are not seeing that all is infinite good, infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. What other way is there to handle what looks like animal magnetism? Mrs. Eddy then shows us that, quote, it exalted him, John, and her too, till they became conscious of the spiritual facts of being and the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, the spiritual outpouring of bliss and glory. The beauty of this text is that the sum total of human misery has full compensation in the law of love. It is all a matter of consciousness. Exultantly, rapturously, Mrs. Eddy exclaims, think of this, dear reader, for it will lift the sackcloth from your eyes. The very circumstance which your suffering sense deems wrathful and afflictive, love can make an angel entertained unawares. It is just a matter of consciousness whether you accept the material point of view with its sum total of human misery or the spiritual. Mrs. Eddy, like Jesus, perceived that the material sense of this world is an illusion. She saw how Jesus overcame this world through understanding that it was merely an illusion induced by universal hypnotism. In quiet ecstasy, she urges, arise from your false consciousness into the true sense of love and behold the Lamb's wife. The Lamb is the spiritual idea of love, which we all must wed. Take the standpoint of present perfection. God is all true consciousness. Mrs. Eddy taught her students to practice from the standpoint of their present perfection, their oneness with infinite good, from the standpoint that each one now is the Christ truth in reality. Jesus taught, whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Why does Mrs. Eddy say, the misinterpretation of such passages has retarded the progress of Christianity and the spiritualization of the race? Not understanding that all progress is made on this side of the grave, theology teaches that one can finish his work elsewhere, or in another way than Jesus did. But Jesus declared he was the way. He finished his work on earth by overcoming death and the grave. After his resurrection, his consciousness advanced beyond the concept of a matter form, and the physical Jesus disappeared. Jesus demonstrated the divine principle of Christian Science when he presented his material body absolved from death and the grave. Jesus and Mrs. Eddy proved their divinity right here on earth and taught others to do so. When you add and subtract, multiply and divide, you demonstrate the principle of mathematics. Just so, exercising your spiritual power demonstrates your spiritual principle. Ye shall know the truth about yourself here and now. Know that you are mind, God, that expresses itself as the spiritual man. You are both God and God made manifest. There is only one. God's own undivided selfhood is individualized as you and me. You are not a matter man. There is only infinite mind, your mind, manifesting itself as its divine nature. Because the kingdom within your consciousness is the principle, you, in reality, are self-governed. Now is the accepted time to know that you as you presently appear, are in reality immutably perfect, because this is the real universe peopled with spiritual beings. As Science and Health tells us, the universe of spirit is peopled with spiritual beings. Infinite space is peopled with infinite goods, ideas. The cardinal point of difference in Mrs. Eddy's teaching is, quote, that by knowing the unreality of disease, sin, and death, you demonstrate the allness of infinite good, unquote. Where infinite space is peopled with God's ideas. This difference separates her system from all others, since her system is built wholly on the infinite good called God. Her revelation of the unreality of evil was a scientific fact of such incredible magnitude that after nearly a century and a half, even devoted students have scarcely realized the impact it will have. In Miscellaneous Writings, Mrs. Eddy says, "Scarcely a moiety is yet assimilated spiritually by even the most faithful seekers." The question often asked, why didn't Mrs. Eddy explain her system? The system based on, one, the seven synonyms for God, two, that operate through the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and three, on the four levels, Christian Science, Absolute Christian Science, Divine Science, and science itself. Mrs. Eddy answers, "The science of physical harmony as now presented to the people in divine light is radical enough to promote as forcible collisions of thought as the age has strength to bear." When Judge Hannah saw the system in her textbook, Mrs. Eddy said, "Yes, it is all there and will be explained at the right time." She urged, "Wait patiently on the Lord. And in less than another 50 years, his name will be magnified in the apprehension of this new subject." Exactly as Mrs. Eddy foresaw, in 50 years, Mr. John Dourley of London began to see the system in the textbook. "Not one millionth part of what I have discovered has as yet been seen," Mrs. Eddy wrote. Just as we have not seen one millionth part of mathematics, her science is infinite. And it will unfold forever. The secret of Christian Science is that infinite good, God, our own mind, the creative principle, life, truth, and love, expresses itself as what looks like you and me and the universe. There are not two worlds. The world we now live in is the spiritual world. Let's not turn away from it. We need only view it rightly. We need to see through the mist that watered the whole face of the ground, veiling the true man from our sight. But the real man, the infinite good he coexists with, has never been touched any more than clouds touch the sun, or 2 times 2 equals 5 touches the principle of arithmetic. Jesus didn't go anywhere when he ascended. He just realized his spiritual perfection here and now. The key to prayer. Prayer is not asking for things necessary to human happiness. It is admitting that each one's individuality is God. All the spiritual energy we need is within ourselves. It is our understanding of this that constitutes at-one-ment. This is what Jesus meant when he said, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." Going to the Father, or heaven, means going right to our right mind, God, which is, quote, "incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love." We are one with these seven synonyms for infinite good, since, as Mrs. Eddy tells us, the spiritual monitor understood is coincidence of the divine with the human, the acme of Christian Science. In the final edition, she gives the above-mentioned seven synonymous terms to define God in what is called the word order, which shows the relationship between truth and error, or how does truth destroy error. This word order is the law of divine creativity, or the law of divine illumination, because we start to learn what we are when we learn what God is. One, as one with mind, God, we are wisdom, intelligence, power. Two, as one with spirit, meaning good, we learn mind is the only and is our true substance. Man, individually and collectively, is one with spirit, or there would be no understanding, no reflection, which are qualities of spirit. When we read Science and Health, that's the word, the letter. When we live the truth, it is presenting. That's the spirit, the Christ. Three, as one with soul, spiritual understanding, we learn our changeless identity as one with infinite good. Soul is the core of oneness. Like 2 times 2 equals 4, it never changes, ensuring safety, balance, bliss, beauty, constancy. Four, mind, spirit, and soul as one, then constitute our principle, our true foundation. A principle has to operate. It operates as life, expressing itself as true consciousness, truth, which is love. Oneness with principle is at one-ment with infinite harmony, where all ideas are operating in perfect relationship in the divine system of being. Five, as one with life, existence, or isness, our divine individuality is indivisible from immortality, from infinite inspiration and constant progression, never needing to be created, never born, and never dying. Six, we are one with truth because through mind, spirit, soul as our principle, which expresses itself as life, we find our consciousness to be truth. We know our consciousness is the same consciousness as God, or we would not be conscious of this truth. We are one with health and wholeness, one with the perfect standard of truth, dominion. Consciousness never goes anywhere. It is forever omnipresent. That is why there is no death. Seven, as one with love, we learn we are in reality the omnipresence of present perfection, embraced by and encompassing all that love embraces in its plan, purpose, peace, and glory. These seven synonyms are what is called, one, the Word of God, showing us how we approach and partake of our true being. Two, Christ shows us the ever-successful operation of this Word. Three, Christianity shows us how these seven are unlimited and operate unconditionally. Four, in science we learn these seven synonyms for God have always existed in our consciousness as the present fact and never need to be created. The mortal dies daily and is reborn into the perfection of being as it reflects the fourfold calculus of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. As the denominational aspect of Christian Science fades, its vital role as the science of all sciences is being discerned. The world is clamoring for a change of consciousness. Since spiritual evolution alone is worthy of the exercise of divine power, as Mrs. Eddy says, material history will draw to a close as thought grasps the divine fact that Christian Science is the universe, meaning all turned into one, turned into love. Your own divine consciousness will never lose sight of loveliness. In the first edition, Mrs. Eddy states, at present we know not what we are, but hereafter we shall be found love, life, and truth, because we understand them. Defining God in Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy states, in part, principle and its idea is one, and this one is God. Then she says this one, the one you are, that I am in reality, has a reflection. You, the real divine you, not the you that is hypnotized to believe the evidence of the physical senses, have the mind of God which expresses itself. Quote, man is the expression of infinite good's being, But God and man remain one. Who would think of trying to separate the shadow from that which is the reason for the shadow? Matter held as shadow, Mrs. Eddy says, is the idea of God. But matter held as substance is a belief and error. This mind, your mind, is the divine principle, love. It alone possesses all faculties. It is the all-hearing and all-knowing mind, and creates its own likeness in ideas. God, the mind of man, must express itself. Science and health makes it clear that the I, or ego, of you and me and of all, is mind, God, and not body. It demands that we see the individual mentality as God rather than man. Hosea's tremendous teaching, I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, along with similar statements by Isaiah and other prophets, are glorious premises on which to establish the understanding that awakens us from the Adam dream we now are so sound asleep in. The second coming of the Christ is awakening us. Christ is the activity of truth in our consciousness. In Mrs. Eddy's definition of man, she tells us, man is the reflection of God, mind, your mind. That which has no separate mind from God, your mind. We must begin to evaluate what we see for what is really there when seen spiritually, knowing that infinite good's will operating in or as heaven is coincidentally operating on earth. What is called man is the visible activity of God, infinite mind, our own right mind, which includes a spiritual mental sense of body. This is a fact, like 2 times 2 equals 4. While the materiality we think we see arises only from the false testimony of material sense. Science reverses this false testimony, and we realize it is entirely our own fabrication, like seeing a flat earth. When we, as metaphysicians, think of body correctly, we see it not as material, but as conscious thought forms or divine ideas of infinite mind. Then we find that pain, stiffness, weakness, inflammation, swelling, weariness are hypnotic suggestions only. Quote, the false testimony of false material sense of mind in matter, unquote, which can be cast out of our thought. As we rid ourselves of these material suggestions, we attain at one-ment, in which the body of infinite goods creating is found perfect and whole. Nothing can touch us once we find, through Mary Baker Eddy's writings, that we don't have a matter body. All that hinders our realization of present perfection is the reality we make of matter, which makes the body appear as matter. We must have faith that what Mrs. Eddy teaches, the truths we have been repeating, are true now. This is the prayer that is the celestial stairway. When Mrs. Eddy writes that, quote, the Christian scientist is alone with his own being and with the reality of things, unquote, she's telling us that we are both the one mind or divine consciousness, the principle and its manifestation. We are both mind and the vehicle, the channel, the instrument, the body, the form, the outlet for its expression. The divine mind and divine body, or expression, constitute individual being. God is appearing as you. God, divine mind, is manifest as individual being. Seen correctly, everyone you are aware of is God appearing as individual being. There is only one. There is not God and man. Principle, which Mrs. Eddy makes clear in the first edition that you are, always remains one with its expression, namely, that principle and its idea is one. The outer is just the expression of the inner consciousness. And there will come a time when, through study and practice, we will climb out of the narrow valley that, through false beliefs, walls us in. Then, having found there is no matter body to experience in harmony, pain, death, sorrow, we will rapturously experience what we already are and always have been. Remember, Mrs. Eddy had seen that your perfection is a present fact here and now, and not a goal to be attained. She has seen the heavens and earth to one human consciousness, that consciousness which God, your right mind, bestows, are spiritual, while to another, the unillumined human mind, the vision is material. Showing unmistakably that what the human mind terms matter and spirit indicates states and stages of consciousness.